Which one do you think had more faith in God? The one who prepared his fields so that when God sent the rain, he was ready for what God was sending. One of the things that we're doing this week, as we kick off each one of our evening services, we're going to talk about family, we're going to talk about marriage, we're going to talk about relationships here this week. And I know that for some of you, it's a little bit of a struggle because you're like, what does this have to do with me? I'm not married. I don't know that I'm ever going to be married. I don't have kids at home anymore. Let me just encourage you with helping prepare the field. All of us have a role to play. All of us are involved in some type of family. We do life with different people. The chances are that we probably do life with people that are at different stages. And let me just let you know that we need your help, especially those who have gone before us. We need your help. We need your input. We need your wisdom. We want your involvement. So please come along with us on this journey to prepare our fields, because we need your help to do that, okay? Again, it's great to see you here tonight. You guys realize it's Monday night, right? You're at church. It's Monday night. Awesome to see you here tonight. Last night, we talked about what it looks like to stay in love, and we used the command that Jesus gave us through his disciples, that he wanted us to love others the way that he loves us. And he said, I want you to do this the way that I have loved and continue to love you. And last night, the challenge for you at the end of this session was, are you willing to love others the way that Jesus loves you? I don't know if you thought about that today or last night. I don't know what conclusion you've come to, but I want to dig a little bit deeper into what that looks like lived out in our relationships tonight. Tonight, I want to talk about what it looks like to be a man of God, okay? Here's kind of the journey that we're going to go on over the course of the next few nights. We're going to talk to the men primarily. Ladies, we need you here because, you know all too well that we need reminding sometimes, right? So we need you to help us in this, but I'm really going to spend tonight and tomorrow night taking a look at what does it look like to be a man of God. And the reason I'm doing that is because then on Wednesday and Thursday night, we're going to talk about what it looks like to be a woman of God, and I really have to go after the men first, ladies, so that I can build up just a little bit of credibility with you, because I'm just going to be honest with you, it's difficult as a guy up here teaching on what it looks like to be a woman of God, okay? It's very intimidating to do that, all right? And I just want you to know, I want this as much as hopefully you do, and I want it so much for the guys to live the way that God designed us to live and to embrace the responsibilities that God has given us. So what does it look like to be a man of God? We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 5. That's where we're going to hang out tonight, Ephesians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. You know, we meet many men who are specialists in what their wives ought to be doing. Hold on. And we meet many women who are specialists in what their husbands ought to be doing. What we need is individuals who are specialists in their own jobs and roles and responsibilities, right? So Ephesians chapter 5, in my Bible, the section starting at verse 22 is titled Husbands and Wives, or Wives and Husbands, I guess is what mine says. I want to read this passage. I have a couple questions I want to ask, and then we're gonna dive into this tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 22. You know what? Why don't we stand together as we read God's word tonight? Verse 22 says this: Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. This is the word of the Lord. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather tonight to spend some time in your word. Father, help us to be the men of God that you desire us to be. Lord, I pray that we would be different when we leave here tonight than we are right now. Lord, give us hearts to receive whatever you have to say to us. Help us to be obedient to that, and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. Okay. This is always such a fun question to ask at the beginning of a session, but here's the question that I want to ask. Based on the passage that we just read, in verse 23, there's something that is stated there, and I just want to ask this question. Guys, don't be super quick to answer this, okay? Ladies, this is really, I would like to hear from you. What does it say the husband is in verse 23? Yeah, okay, not too loud, okay, ladies? Okay, in verse 23, it says that the husband is the head of the wife. I really want to explore that, because I think what we've done over the course of history is we've done a really good job messing up what that looks like. And so here we go. Let's take a look at what that looks like. Let's put some handles on that, and then let's go live this out, guys, okay? I believe that God designed men and women to have distinct complementary roles in the home. While men and women are equal in nature and worth, God means for them to function differently within the home. What does this mean then when it says that the husband is the head? What does it mean to be head? You see, today the connotation of head means things. It brings up things like this: authoritarian, boss, ruler, owner, president. These are things that invoke strong emotions for many of us. However, the word head, when Paul wrote this, would have been interpreted as things like this: protector, provider, lover, someone responsible for another. Words that would be described as life-giving. Now, the word head does imply leadership. Head does mean to be a leader. The question we need to answer is, what kind of leader does that mean? You see, it's about responsibility, guys, not rank. It's about sacrifice, not selfishness. It's about duty, not domination over another individual. What this means, simply put, is that you're to seek your wife's best, even at your own expense. To seek your wife's best, even at your own expense. Headship, defined this way, becomes a high and holy calling. It's a calling to empower another human being. This was Jesus' leadership style. We took a look at that last night in Philippians chapter 2. This is the leadership style. This is the example that Jesus lived out for us. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, you don't have to go there. I'm just going to read it. This is what it says: "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." It's interesting, the word servant and leader are not always terms that we feel like they naturally go together. In fact, sometimes they actually seem to contradict each other, this word servant and the word leader. But in God's kingdom, to be head is to be this blend of leader and servant. Guys, we've been given the authority to lead our wives, but our style is to be that of a servant. To be a source of life to our wives and to the rest of our family. Then we can claim the title of head as God designed it, the way it's described in this passage in Ephesians. You see, biblical leadership is not a path of ease and advantage, but a calling to work, a calling to sacrifice, and a calling to service. You see, Christ, he didn't use the church. He didn't dominate her or force his leadership on her. In fact, on the contrary, he earned the right of leadership by expending himself for his bride, and as we saw last night, ultimately dying for her. So, based on this passage in Ephesians, when it talks about the husband being the head, I believe there are two major areas where we need to be men of God. The first area is in leading our wives and our family as the head. The second part is loving our wives and our family as head. And so tonight, what I want to take a look at is I want to take a look at what does it mean to be a man of God who leads his wife and his family. Okay, I'm just going to give you exactly what we're going to talk about here. Three areas in regards to leading means to provide and to protect and to pastor. Leading means to provide, to protect, and to pastor. So let's talk about what that looks like in the context of our family relationships. So to provide, what does that mean? Ephesians 5:28, we read it. I'll just review this real quickly. In the same way husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies, he who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. Okay, to provide, this expresses to provide for her needs and to help her grow and mature in Christ and to give her comfort and security, guys. That's what it means when it talks about providing. Okay? That's the responsibility we're talking about, to grow and mature in Christ and to give her comfort and security. 1 Timothy 5:8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Okay, now, when we talk about providing, so often we can get into the financial side of things, right? To help her grow and mature in Christ and to give her comfort and security does not mean that your wife can't earn an income, guys. Doesn't even mean she can't work outside the home. It doesn't mean that she has to make less money than you. I met a pastor whose wife was a doctor. I'm pretty sure how that played out as far as the financial side of things, right? Just being in ministry myself and knowing a lot of pastors, okay? But it's not about necessarily all about the financial side of things. To provide means to help her grow and mature in Christ and to give her comfort and security. And not all of that is related to just the financial side of things, okay? So that's what we're talking about when we talk about providing. To protect, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The supreme responsibility for husbands to love their wives with the same selfless and sacrificial love that Christ has for his church. You see, Jesus gave everything he had, including his own life, for the sake of the church. And this is the standard of sacrifice for a husband's love for his wife, for his children, and I would even take that one step further into his extended family, possibly, depending on the scenario that you find yourself in. I have found myself in this scenario over the course of the last few years. I think I was thinking today, I can't remember if I shared it in here last night or if it was in Sunday school, but about 4 years ago, my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and one of the ways that God has extended grace to me in that is when there were days where I wanted to roll my eyes a little bit and go, oh, again. This is what God said to me one day. As he taps you on the shoulder. It's a picture of my dad and I that we took this summer. God said, Ben, you know, for 42 years, the first 42 years of my life, I knew my dad was a police officer. I knew that my dad would protect us, kids, and mom, no matter what. It just, you know, like, if he was willing to actually go out on a daily basis and lay his life on the line for a total stranger, I knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that he would do that for us. And God said one day, you know, your dad, you know that your dad protected you for the first 42 years of your life and that he would do anything to protect you or mom or any of my siblings. And God said, now it's just your turn to protect dad. And I was like, you know what, God? You're right. What an opportunity for us as a family to be able to do that. Guys, are you willing to give yourself up for her? To protect her? Okay? So to lead means to provide. It means to protect. And then I save the best for last, because it's the one that we struggle the least with, right, guys? To pastor. Right. When we talk about what it means to pastor, we're talking about giving spiritual leadership in our homes. And I think, as a guy standing here in front of you, this is probably one of the harder things for us as men to do. We sort of like the thought of providing and protecting, right? Those are sort of macho things. But to pastor our wives and our family is kind of a whole different ballgame for several reasons. First, we're not sure that we're all that good at it. Secondly, we might not be at a place where we really feel like we ought to be doing it because our own spiritual life is lacking. And then, at least for me, it's the hardest part. It's the most uncomfortable part to try to fake. Because you know that God knows where your heart really is in all of this. So what does it look like to give spiritual leadership? Ephesians 5:25, I'm just going to read it real quickly again. We read it earlier. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Let me share with you what it takes to give spiritual leadership in your home, guys. This was very eye-opening for me when an older gentleman who I look up to shared this with me one day. Here's what he said, and here's what I'll share with you. You don't have to have been a Christian longer than your wife to be the spiritual leader in your home. In fact, you don't even have to know your Bible better than your wife to be the spiritual leader in your home. You don't have to be more spiritually mature than your wife to be the spiritual leader in your home. Here's what it takes for you to be the spiritual leader in your home. It takes you, as a man, heading in the direction of God. Spiritual leadership means you are to be the man who is heading towards God. And we'll talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes. But if that's the direction that you're headed and you're leading your family, guess where your family's going to follow you? Heading towards God. Okay, so let's not overcomplicate and put this huge burden, like, I don't know how to prepare a sermon, I don't know how to do family devotions for 45 minutes with my family, I don't know how to pray for an hour straight. Like, those are all great things, okay? But for you to be the spiritual leader in your home, that's not what that means. All it takes is for you to be a man who's heading towards God. What does this look like? Spiritual leadership means giving spiritual direction or establishing the priorities. There was an individual in the Bible by the name of Joshua, who had a fairly famous phrase, right? He said, this is how he established the priorities in his home. He said, as for me and my house, we will what? All right, so he was setting the priority in the direction by making a statement that said, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Several years ago, when I started really trying to embrace this giving spiritual direction in our home, we put together what I would call our family values. And we used these family values, there were six of them, we used them to try to filter everything through that we were doing. How we were living our life, it would help us make decisions, it would help us evaluate when we did something and it just didn't feel right, we would go back to our family values and say, is what we did, or is what we said, or is how we're feeling, does it align with our family values? And then a couple years ago, at Christmas, my wife had somebody make it up into sort of a little picture frame, and I got it for Christmas, and it was a pretty cool little gift, and we hung it in the kitchen of our house. And the reason that we hung it there is because it's really hard to walk through our house and not see what those family values are. And we'll still walk up to those today if we're working through something and say, how does what we're processing or how does what we're working through fit? And so this is what it sort of looks like. It's a little distorted on the screen there, but it just says the Slink family values. Okay? And our family values, the first one is love God, right? It's the first and greatest commandment, love the Lord your God. And the second is like it, which says, love your neighbor as yourself. So I figured, who's my closest neighbor? probably those that I live with, right? The people that I probably interact more with than anyone else. So we said, how does that translate? And we said, well, that'll translate into family first, okay? That's not supposed to be like, we only think about our family first. It was like, my closest neighbor is my wife and my kids. And if I can't live out what God desires for me and how I'm living my life in the context of the four walls of my house, it's really difficult for me to think about being able to do that successfully outside of the four walls of my house. And so we just said, we're gonna be marked by these things. We're going to love God. We're going to put family first. We're going to work hard, because God's word says, whatever you do, work at it with half your heart, right? All your heart. Okay, we're going to tell the truth, because the book of Proverbs is very, very clear about how God feels about those that tell the truth and what he feels about those who don't tell the truth. We're going to be kind or give generously, because all that we have does not belong to us. It's all God's. And so we're just going to, whatever he tells us to do, we're going to be really generous with what it is that he's entrusted to us. And then lastly, we want to be a family who's known by praying. And those are just the values that we put together and we try to shake most of life through and use that as the filter. It's the practical application, at least for this guy, on how do I live out this thing called spiritual leadership and giving spiritual direction to my home. So, spiritual leadership, giving spiritual direction. Spiritual leadership means setting the spiritual pace. Okay? Most people follow the one that sets the pace. Interesting little story. Several years ago, I decided that I wanted to train for and run a marathon. So I started this training. I signed up and was with a group of people in town. This was more than a few years ago. This is before we actually traveled. So anyway, this is a few years plus a few years ago. So I signed up for this group to run with and to train with, and we would meet every Saturday and every Wednesday, and then we had assignments throughout the course of the week to go run, and I thought, oh, great, it's a training program. I got about a week into that process and decided, I don't think I'm going to train for a marathon. I'm going to train for a half marathon. That seemed a little bit easier. So trained for this half marathon with this group of individuals, and we trained for, everybody trained to run that half marathon at a certain pace. And you have to watch your wristwatch, and you do track workouts and all that stuff. And so race day came, and I was ready and felt pretty good and was going to run this race at a certain pace and was a little nervous about that because, what if I go out too fast or don't go out fast enough, and then I got to try to make up that time and then burn out towards the end. And so you have all these things that run through your mind. And when I got to the start of the race, I didn't know this existed. There were individuals at the start that were holding up signs. And one of the signs said, like, 6. And another sign said, 6:30. And another sign said, 7. And another sign said, 7:30. And I had to keep walking, And I inquired about what's up with the people with the signs. And somebody said, those are pace setters. I'm like, what do you mean those are pace setters? They're going to run the race at the pace of the sign that they're holding. They don't hold the sign once the race starts, okay? And I was like, that's weird. How do you do that? That's awkward. But they don't hold the sign, but you fall in behind the person that you want to run at the pace that they had the sign at, and then you don't have to think about it. They're trained, and somehow they have some type of internal clock that just runs at that pace, right? Or they're better at it than you are, right? So I was like, really? All I got to do is I got to fall in behind this dude that was holding the sign at the pace that I wanted to run that race at. And so I just fell in behind that guy, and I ran that whole race without really having to think about how if I was running too fast or too slow, and I crossed that finish line at the pace that I wanted and trained to run that race at. It was more of a jog. It wasn't really a race for me. But anyway, there was this pace setter there. Blew me away. I had never seen that before. Made running that thing a whole lot easier. Guys, what does this look like in your home? What kind of pace are you setting at providing spiritual leadership in your home? I'll give you a couple things, a couple little things that you could do to make application of this, okay? Some things that we don't always do a real good job at. How about praying with your wife, guys? Doesn't have to be this big, long, sermon-esque prayer, okay? Your wife's probably not actually even looking for that. But just praying with your wife with some type of regularity and you initiating that, okay? That's part of providing spiritual leadership in your home. Maybe it's talking with your wife about spiritual things, okay? Those are just two small examples of things that you could do to be the spiritual leader in your home. So spiritual leadership means giving spiritual direction, means setting the spiritual pace, and then spiritual leadership means giving spiritual encouragement. Okay, one of the things that was interesting when I ran that half marathon and was running by that pace setter, he also tried to encourage, he provided encouragement along the way, except I got a little cynical. I told you that I like to bend in that direction last night when we were about halfway through, and then he said, "You guys are doing great. We're almost there." And I was like, "No, we're not. Now you're lying a little bit. Like, we're only half done. It's not like this is a two-mile race here. Don't tell me we're almost there." That took it a little bit too far. But he offered encouragement. Spiritual leadership means giving spiritual encouragement. Husbands, you're the lead runner, this pace setter. Help find resources that would encourage her spiritually. And now all of a sudden, this ties right back into that whole responsibility of providing, right? To help her grow and mature in Christ. Spiritual leadership means giving spiritual encouragement. Now, when we talk about helping find resources, don't just grab a book off the book table back here and say, "Hey, I thought maybe this would be good for you to read." It doesn't work with us guys, okay? The book will never, it won't get read, guys, okay? It doesn't. But if you come across something that you read that's encouraging to you spiritually, that would be an opportunity for you to share that with your wife. Okay, it also might look like making time so that she can grow spiritually. I hinted at this last night. I'll just share it again tonight. We got something at church here tomorrow that's going to help encourage your wife spiritually. It's the ladies' luncheon. Guys, anything that you can do to help make that possible for your wife, you'll get an A in this over the course of the next couple of days by providing spiritual encouragement and giving spiritual leadership in your home. Okay? So giving spiritual direction, setting the spiritual pace, and giving spiritual encouragement is how we provide spiritual leadership in our homes. Okay? It's a little diagram. Here's kind of what we've covered, okay? As a man of God who leads, we provide, we protect, and we pastor. We pastor by giving spiritual direction, setting the spiritual pace, and giving spiritual encouragement. So, here's my challenge for the guys tonight. Here's your life in action. I hinted at it. Now we're just gonna make it an assignment tonight. Before you go to bed tonight, guys, will you pray with your wife? Okay? I'm asking you to initiate this. Might be as you're lying in bed together. I don't know. Doesn't have to be long. If it's too long, she'll probably fall asleep anyways. Okay? But it's one way for you to just take one more step in providing spiritual leadership in your home. Now, here's the thing. I may or may not tomorrow night at the beginning of the service ask the ladies how you men did with this assignment, okay? I have never once heard a lady complain that her husband took the initiative to pray with her. I've never heard that before, okay? I don't expect to. Guys, if she's complaining about that, there's probably some others. We can talk offline at some point, okay? But trust me, your wives will appreciate this greatly. So, before you go to bed tonight, will you pray with your wife? Tomorrow, we're going to take a look at what it looks like to be a man of God who loves his wife and his family. All right? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the opportunity to dig into your word. Lord, I'm grateful for the responsibility that you've entrusted to us as men and what it means to be head as we lead our wives and our families. Lord,